You may be seated.
Well, what's so great about Christmas? Now, that seems like an odd question, like a question that maybe Scrooge would ask, right? What's so great about Christmas? Well, it really is a question worth considering. What is so great about Christmas? Now, there's many things that we enjoy, of course, around the holidays. We're thankful for presents and wonderful food. We're grateful to have time with family and loved ones. But there's something far more important that we have to celebrate. There's something that is truly great about Christmas. And in the midst of all of the festivities, let's be sure that we don't miss the real reason for the season. Christmas is a celebration of the fact that God became man. Jesus took on human flesh. He became one of us. God, the infinitely worthy one, humbled himself. He came and was born of a woman. And then he grew up to live a perfect life, the life that we should have lived. He came and he dwelt among us. He was with us. This evening, I want us to consider the text that we had read first from John's Gospel. John chapter 1. Says this. This is how John starts his whole account of the life of Jesus. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then in verse 14, we read this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So in this short passage, we learn that Jesus became flesh. He became a human. You see, he is the eternal Son of God. He has always existed. But he became man just over 2,000 years ago. He took on human flesh. He became one of us. He dwelt with us. And significantly, John points out that this only Son of the Father, he was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. These are two massive reasons that we have to celebrate at Christmas. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Let's start by looking at truth. The world that we live in is filled with lies. It's filled with deception. And we've all added to that. We've made it worse. We've all spoken falsehood. We try not to lie, and yet it happens so naturally. It's happened to all of us. You know, later in the scripture, in the book of James, we read these words. "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." Well, let's face it, we're not perfect. We're not even close to perfect. And it's not just our words that have gotten us into trouble. Yes, our words, but also our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions. We all covet. We all steal at times. We grow angry. We've hurt others in many ways. I mean, everyone in the room can look back and we all have a long list of regret. And that's not a small thing. It's not that, you know, I just wish I had done better. No, we have broken the law of God. This is a serious issue. The sovereign of the universe, the king of everything, we have rebelled against him. And we are deserving of death. When you commit treason against a king, you die. We have all committed treason against the king of the universe. And we deserve to die. That's us. That's what we deserve. But Jesus, on the other hand, he was different. Yes, he was one of us. Yes, he became human. But he was perfect. He didn't make any mistakes. He did it right every moment. He obeyed completely. He actually fulfilled all righteousness. He only spoke truth. Never was deceit upon his lips. He was indeed a perfect man. He didn't stumble in what he said. And more than speaking the truth, Jesus actually claimed to be the truth. He said that he is truth. This is astounding. Listen to these words from John 14, 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He didn't just say that he speaks truth or he is a truth, a way. No, no, no. He said he is the truth. You know, this time of year, there's so many fairy tales that are read. You go around the channels and there's all this pretend and make-believe. Christianity will have none of it. What we are actually celebrating at Christmas is truth. We are celebrating grace and truth. So Jesus was full of truth, but he's also full of grace. Now, grace is just a word for a gift, a present. Kids are getting excited about those. Is that right? Kids, are you excited about presents? Right? Indeed, this is exciting. Well, Jesus is full of grace. He's a gift, a present, something that is given. Now, tomorrow we're all going to open presents. But it would be an absolute tragedy for you to miss the most important present. Kids, hear me for a minute. If you had presents stacked up as high as your entire house, and yet you missed the grace of God, you would have missed the present worth really having. All of those don't compare with what is given to us in Jesus. God's grace is an incredible gift. You see, we celebrate that Jesus was born. He's this little infant that was laid in a manger. But that little infant grew into a man that lived the perfect life. And then at the end of his life, when all of us should have just stared and give him a standing ovation, instead he chose to lay down his life in the place of sinners, in the place of those who had broken God's rules, in our place. He took our punishment as our substitute. He died in our place. He bore the wrath that we deserved. So at Christmas, we don't just celebrate that Christ came. Oh, we celebrate that Christ came in order to save. Jesus put it this way in Luke. He said that he came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. He came that he might save. Or again, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, this kind of summary of the life of Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the whole reason that Christmas even exists, is because Christ came in order to save. Now this word sinners, that's the Bible word for those who have broken his rules, for those who have rebelled against God. And again, we are all sinners and we deserve punishment. But I have good news. I have great news. Christ took that punishment for us. And instead, God has grace for us. God has a gift for us. But it's a gift that we must receive, a gift that we must accept. We must let go of our sin and take hold of Christ. You know, this verse that we're considering here in John is verse 14. Just a couple verses before, verse 12, we read these words. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So here's God's gift. Here's what it is. That you might be a part of his family. That you would be adopted, brought into the very people of God. That you would be made righteous in Christ. That you would be reconciled unto him. That gift of eternal life with God, it's far better than anything you'll find under a tree. It is the best gift. So this evening, let me just ask each one of you, have you received the most important present? Have you received the best gift ever? Have you trusted in Jesus? Jesus is full of grace. You can trust him right now. You can take hold of that gift. You can call out to mercy. Call out for mercy, and he will give you forgiveness. You know, just a couple pages later in the scriptures, we have probably the most famous verse in the whole Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, not die, but have everlasting life. You see, God indeed has a gift for us this Christmas. It is Christ himself. So let me encourage you, receive the best present of all. Trust in Jesus. So what's so great about Christmas? Well, to say it concisely, that Jesus came to save sinners. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we are astounded at your goodness to us. Indeed, we see that you did love the world so much that you would send your son. You gave your son for us. Lord, we rejoice in the fact that holy God in love became perfect man to bear our blame. And that ultimately he went to the cross so that by his death we might live. Lord, we rejoice in what we have been given this Christmas. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Now in just a moment, we're going to sing again, and we're going to do it by candlelight. So kids, I have some instructions for you, okay? Where's my little candle? All right. When you have your candle, it doesn't go like this, or like this, or in here. No, no, no. You hold it straight up, okay? And so the other thing really important, especially little ones, don't touch the flame, all right? So will you stand together as we sing? And so I'm going to start the lighting. And basically, once your candle is lit, just turn and light those that are around you, okay? We'll be singing together, Silent Night. Thank you. thank you all again for coming. Let me say to you, Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that we would focus on Jesus this Christmas, that we wouldn't be distracted by all of the presents and the gifts and the other good things that are a part of Christmas, but rather we would use those things to focus our attention towards the greatest gift of all, towards Jesus. Lord, I pray for all here that you will bless them and keep them, that you'll make your face shine upon them, that you will smile upon them, that you'll be gracious to them, and that this Christmas that you would give them peace. Amen. All right, here we go. Blow out your candles. You are dismissed.